Welcome to the Monster Club, an honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans. Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have spoilers, ho! I am Jethel.
And I'm Tack.
And this week, we're taking a look back at the 1992 classic horror, Candyman, starring Tony Todd and Virginia Madsen. Alternative titles, go!
Honey Barbecue Flavored Death.
Oh, God.
See what I did there?
I did.
What's yours?
Honeybees need love to do.
Hey, before we get to talking about the movie, what's new with you this week?
Well, this week, as I posted on Cinema Unrest, I went to see The Forest.
Mm-hmm. I get the impression you were not impressed.
Well, it was, like I said in my review, it was a good movie. It really was. They ruined it with jump scares. They didn't need jump scares. This movie, huh. If I were to get a copy of this movie and take out all the jump scares, it would be a good movie. It really would. There was just too many of them. One or two I can see, you know, for today's audience. They need to be jump scared, whatever. But, there was just too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a critical no-no as far as I'm concerned with jump scares. They ended the movie on a jump scare.
Oh, I hate that. That is such a cheeseball move.
You know, it's kind of like the end of Paranormal Activity. The person lunges toward the camera. They did the same thing.
Well, okay, but in our discussions about jump scares, you said that the kind that really tick you off are the innocuous jump scares. The cat jumping across the car, you know?
I mean, if something suddenly appears and scares someone, that's fine.
Okay.
But just to do it, just to get a cheap scream from the audience, that sucks.
The startling but not actually dangerous jump scare is pretty annoying.
You know, say, okay, spoilers again, spoilers. End of The Forest, the girl who went in looking for her sister finds her sister, and the sister escapes, but she ends up getting killed. End of the movie, they're leaving the trail, leaving the forest. The guide that showed them, you know, guided them through the forest, stuff like that, looks back and sees her at the end of the trail. The ghost of the woman who was the main protagonist through the whole movie. And she's there, and she's all haunting. All of a sudden, she rushes toward the camera. Oh, fuck me. Come on, man.
Well, that's okay, I guess. Because you're not diffusing the built-up tension there needlessly. You know what I'm saying? That's always been your thing.
But there was no reason for it to happen. They were out of the forest. The ghosts are not supposed to leave the forest. They're supposed to stay there. They did it just for a last jump. And that's wrong.
Do you think it would have been creepier if she had just, you know, if he had just been distracted for a moment and looked back and...
Either looked back and saw her maybe ambiguously, you know, like, oh, what is that? What is that form in the woods? That kind of thing. Or see her as she was at the end of the trail, just have her turn and walk back into the forest and fade into the fog. That would have been awesome. But just the boo!
Or one of my favorite styles is you see like the character that's you know that witnesses this. You're looking over their shoulders, they're walking away from the scene, and you see the ghost over their shoulder. And they turn around just in time to catch the last fade of the ghost disappearing. Yeah. Like, what, did I see that?
That would have been a lot better. Mm. Really?
I can see that. Yeah. But yeah. I totally get what you're saying there.
All right.
I didn't see the movie, by the way, but yeah, that does sound pretty cheap.
I mean, if you don't mind jump scares as much as I do, by all means, see the movie. It's good. It really is. It cheapens the movie for me.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't get the impression that you liked it at all from your review.
No, I even said in the review, man, I read it just before I started Skype here. I liked it. I really did. Hmm. But I got a problem with jump scares. It just cheapens the experience for me. It's just, it's like having filet mignon and then pouring ketchup on it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I like that.
Yeah. So jump scares are the ketchup to my filet mignon. All right, got it. That's a good analogy. I'm going to keep that one.
Well, I've been watching Lost because I got the first
season. I never got into Lost.
I got the first season for Christmas and I couldn't help myself, and I've been finding good deals on the each season as I reach the end of it. And I love Lost on Blu-ray. Holy heck, it is so good. Let's see. I am looking forward to the new X-Files miniseries that's coming out.
Yep, tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, it's this weekend, I'm sure. I keep seeing things on Facebook and I think it says one day. That's okay. The latest one that I've seen.
I'm going to have to make sure that my DVR is set to record it then.
I'm keeping my expectations, you know, reasonable. You know, everybody's back that should be back. You know, Carter's behind it. So crossing my fingers that it's going to be great. A little disappointed that they're only doing two, you know, mythology episodes. They should just do six solid episodes of mythology and wrap that alien stuff up, damn it, you know?
Yeah.
But I hope they can do it justice in two. And then have, you know,
well, time will tell.
Four stories, you know, for because it's just a short little thing. It's just six episodes.
Mm. So it could be good. It could be just another reboot.
No. God, why do people keep using that word? It could just be, you know, another thing where they say they peel back another layer and then they don't conclude it satisfactorily.
Did you hear that they're actually remaking Labyrinth?
Yeah, I posted a reply into that post. I don't see the point of doing a remake.
No, there's no point to it.
A branch off, a continuation in the same universe, that would be fun. With different characters, different story.
Well, not even different characters and a follow-up to Labyrinth was actually written. It's a book.
Yeah, it's four books, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they could use that as a reference and continue the story. That would be all right. But why reboot it?
I don't think you can do it without... I don't think you can do the Goblin King character without Bowie. It's just too... He's just passed away. You know, if you tried to recreate the first movie with why, it's fine. It's fine as it is. It doesn't suffer at all. You can watch it today and be extremely entertained.
Wait, I can see it now. I'm thinking Hollywood now. The Labyrinth Chronicles.
Oh, Jesus.
And they actually do like three movies. But in order to do the three movies, you have to throw like Tom Middleton in there as Jareth.
Oh, lovely. Can he sing?
I have no idea. I've never... I don't think I've seen him in anything.
I cringe at the idea of maybe like a Labyrinth remake. But sans music. I mean, it is a musical. You can't do Labyrinth without the music. That's what the Labyrinth is.
Exactly.
You know?
On the thread I had going on Facebook, someone recommended Benedict Cumberbatch. No. No. Don't get me wrong. He's good. He's a good actor. He really is. He's not Jareth. I can see Tom Middleton doing it.
Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, Loki from the Thor movies. I can see him doing it.
Yeah.
I think his personality would fit well with that if they were to do it. But Benedict, too dark.
Yeah.
Benedict is just too dark and too serious for that role. Unless he has something in him that we haven't seen. I don't know. I just can't see, you know, Sherlock in the Labyrinth. I can't see it.
Yeah. It's just a little too weird. Like I said, if they want to do a branch off, that's fine, but no one can do Goblin King except for Bowie.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. The last bit of news that I'm excited about is that, we might have nine planets in the solar system again.
Yes, I heard about that. Scientists have said that, there's possibly a large planet, maybe the size of Neptune,
smaller than Neptune, and about, 10 times as massive as the Earth. And when I say massive, I mean, like, if you took the weight of the Earth, it would be about 10 times that. But it would be a solid.
You can't call it a dwarf now! Ha ha!
Yeah. It would be an actual planet. I wonder what we'll name it. And I also wonder whether the monstrous alien race that inhabits it will wage war with us to claim our world for their own.
I really think they ought to name it Yogg-Sothoth.
Name it what?
Yogg-Sothoth, the one of the great ones, the old ones, one of the older gods.
No, I think they'll keep with naming it after some bit of was it Greek mythology, Greek gods or Roman gods, because we have Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn.
I know we can launch a petition, and we'll have the new planet named Riley.
Ryleth? Is that how it's spelled? Am I remembering?
Riley, something like that is the Cthulhu's home.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do. I'm for it. And maybe just say on behalf of the Monster Club, we welcome our dark, twisted, evil overlords.
Yes.
May your reign of terror never falter.
Do you think they bought it? Are we safe?
We're the very first traitors to our race.
Yes.
So let's
let's
dig into Candyman.
Candyman. I love that music. It's very cool.
What is up with all the gratuitous cigarette smoking?
It's a product of the 90s.
They just light up whenever and wherever they like, wherever they can. No one minds. No one's giving them, dirty looks or coughing or anything.
I know.
I mean, with Malt?
Helen is chain smoking through this whole thing. Was there a scene without a cigarette in it?
None whatsoever. Everybody in that movie smoked.
Wow.
But it seems weird to us now, but it wasn't until 2008 that the Smoke-Free Illinois Act went into effect, banning smoking in nearly all enclosed workplaces. So it seems weird to us now, but holy heck, does that date the film?
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Well, now what we need to do is a Lucas-esque reboot of the movie and replace all the cigarettes with vape pens.
Yeah, there you go. With vapes. Blue e-cigs.
Yeah, that's it.
Be a big sponsor. Spielberg, he famously replaced all the guns in E.T. with walkie-talkies.
Actually, that didn't last long. He re-released the Blu-rays with the original.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, okay.
He realized the error of his ways, unlike George Lucas.
Oh, man. Fuck that guy. I'm sorry, Lucas.
No, wait. don't fuck him. We don't need more Lucases running around.
Figuratively speaking.
Okay, so let's talk Candyman. Let's run through the story real quick here, and then we'll get into specific aspects. Candyman, a urban legend, a mythical thing.
Build on that whole man with a hook kind of mythos.
Man with a hook. Although his backstory, as told by Professor Purcell.
Mike Culkin.
Yes.
Culkin. Yeah, Philip.
As told by him, it does not include a hook. They just sawed off his hand, bees ate him, and they burned him in a pyre. No hook involved in that. So the hook must have came after. It's like, well, I have no hand. I need a weapon of some sort. That kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, weird. That's almost like they kind of tacked that on. That's weird. I never noticed that.
But it works.
Yeah.
But it works. It's fine. Son of a freed slave who made it big in the making some kind of a machine that was prominent in shoe production, mass production. Yeah. He's an artist, falls in love with the daughter of a wealthy businessman.
The white.
White daughter of a wealthy businessman. No.
See where that's going.
Lynch mob! Lynch mob.
Yep.
Tracks him down, drags him away to a field known as Caprini Green, where there are beehives nearby. They lynch this guy, cut off his hand, smear him with honey, And the bees come and make sweet, sweet love to him. Multiple hundreds of times.
I don't think whoever wrote that bit of lore really understood how bees work.
Yeah, bees don't eat people.
If you cover somebody with honey, they're not just going to sting whatever's covered in honey.
It's the Yogi Bear honey situation.
I suppose.
Bees attack anyone smeared in their honey.
Oh, they do?
No, not really.
For the purpose of this
that's
film.
According, that's according to Yogi Bear. Mm. If you steal their honey, they will come for you. So, and then he dies, of course. Mm. And he comes back when someone says his name while looking into a mirror, calling his name five times.
Five times. That's commitment right there.
Yes.
Not three for this guy. Five times. You gotta really want it.
It's like Candyman.
Keep going.
Candyman.
Are you sure?
No.
Press one for hook impalements.
Oh, man. I do really love this movie. Saw it when it first came out. Just thought it was the bee's knees. Bee's knees! Bee's knees! Okay.
Tony Todd, who you mentioned before, plays the titular Candyman.
Awesome guy.
He's probably best known in horror circles as the mortician in the Final Destination franchise. He's got a awesome voice.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome voice. He's got, it's just, you instantly recognize it. He's got a very cool, throaty, menacing kind of voice.
Very distinctive. I mean, there's no one else that sounds like
that. The thing that kept tripping me up watching this movie is, now I know they explained it. I went ahead and watched all three, you know. Within the context of the first movie.
Yes.
They never explain the title, the name he gets. It's just...
They explain it in the second one, I think?
Yeah. But in the first movie, I was like, but why? You still haven't explained why he picked that name. You know, they don't...
Well, who says he picked the name?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you're left to assume that he picked it because certainly no one else has shown giving him that name. You know, they had to wait until the second movie to explain that.
Right. I mean, do you think Bloody Mary called herself Bloody Mary?
Right, but that's inferred, you know, you know, her name is Mary, and she's bloody because she was murdered or something, you know?
Okay, so as a spoiler to Farewell to the Flesh,
right.
Actually, was it Farewell to the Flesh or the last one? Anyway, to one of the sequels, he's called Candyman because of the honey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
yeah,
in the 1800s, was honey.
Yeah, this kid is standing by... looking on as he's being, you know, smeared and with honey. And he tastes a little bit of the honey off of his cheek because it splattered on him or something because they were being really careless. And he said, you know, Candyman. And then everyone just started calling him Candyman. And even that was kind of a stretch.
That was a little hokey.
At some point in the movie, Virginia Madsen playing Helen, she finds this pile of candy with razor blades in it.
Yep.
I was like, okay, finally a link. And then they never mention it again.
Yeah.
They never explain it. What was that about? Nope. Not gonna tell ya. It's just there, you know. Just weird little... I get the sense that some stuff ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, probably.
And they forgot to snip out everything that referred to.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Candyman himself.
Okay.
He is self-aware as an urban legend. He knows he is an urban legend. Mm. And he knows that he needs people to believe in this urban legend in order for him to exist.
Yeah.
If people stop believing in him, he will have no effect on the real world. He will essentially, you know, cease to exist.
Or at least be diminished in power.
Right. And he knows this.
Mm-hmm.
So... when Helen's reporting and the arrest of the gang member, of the gang leader called Candyman, calls his existence into question, mm-hmm. he is obliged to make an example out of her. that's something that you don't see. No, you don't see any movies about Bloody Mary where she knows that she has to kill people every once in a while to keep the myth up. All right. He is a black supernatural antagonist. You don't see that.
No, you don't. That was pretty unique about this film.
You see lots of horror movies where, yeah, sure, there's a black guy and he could be the bad guy. But a black supernatural antagonist? I can't think of another one.
Mm-mm. Nobody's coming to mind. I want to say that there was some debate with the studio when they were pulling this whole idea together as to whether he should have, what ethnicity he was going to be. There was some controversy that the film was depicting racism and racial stereotypes, according to Rose. I had to go and have a whole set of meetings with the NAACP because the producers were so worried. And what they said to me when they'd read the script, was, why are we even having this meeting? You know, this is just good fun. Their argument was, why shouldn't a black actor be a ghost? Why shouldn't a black actor play Freddy Krueger or Hannibal Lecter? I'm not sure. I'm not sure which way that's going. I don't know. It's difficult to tell from reading.
Well, it sounds to me like the director was concerned he was going to offend someone, and he went to the NAACP, and they said, we don't have any problem. Why are we even having this meeting? So
yeah.
I think it's actually a boost to the black, I mean, I'm not going to speak about racism or whatever, but I think it's a boost to the black community to have their own urban legend anti-hero, or whatever you want to call Candyman, their own antagonist. Why shouldn't they have one?
I kind of wish that instead of just being, you know, this murderous entity, a Candyman was kind of an entity that seeks justice. You know, that hunts down, you know, but then would it be like Blade, strictly a horror film?
Well, then you have Blade.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk more about Candyman. Black supernatural antagonist, articulate, polite, intelligent. He ranks up there with Pinhead, as far as I'm concerned. I have a feeling that if he wasn't intent on murdering you, you could actually sit down and have a conversation with this dude.
I don't know. I think I would find the bloody hook a little off-putting.
I wouldn't. If he promised not to kill me, I would sit down and interview this guy.
Really?
Yes. I find him fascinating.
You know, in the movies, he lies to his victims.
No.
So there's no reason for him to tell you the truth. I wouldn't believe him for a minute. I'd be like, oh, fuck no.
Tony Todd, if you're listening, I'm up for an interview. Talk is not.
Tony Todd's fine.
But it's like, okay, Pinhead, if he made a vow of some kind that he couldn't break, would you sit down and talk to him?
Oh, geez, no.
I would love to.
You know, for a guy who's not a fan of cheap jump scares, you give this movie an awfully big pass. Because this movie had, I think, like 4 or 5 in the first half of the movie when they're supposedly building up the tension, you know, and they just stick one in time and time again.
It, like I said, though, if it's a jump scare that has a purpose.
None of them did. They were all just, oh, my gosh, you put your hand on my shoulder and it scared me. That kind of thing. Over and over again. I was like, seriously?
Well, you know,
there was within 10 minutes, two characters did it to each other.
Perhaps I'm giving it a pass because I fell in love with this movie before jump scares started to piss me off.
Nostalgia glasses, yeah.
Yes. If you had Candyman here with us right now, what would you ask him? Why the hook?
I mean, I'm assuming it has something to do with what his father did. You know, I thought, you know, the hooks like that, those are used for, like, moving around hay bales.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So but I can't imagine what that would have been like. You know, what it had to do with anything. I just don't know. Oh, what would I ask him? What would I ask him? What would it take to, you know, put you at rest? what do you want other than to exist? Aren't you ready to move on? Haven't you caused enough pain, you know? Haven't you obtained your revenge?
Well, we don't know. But perhaps the thing is, he can't be at rest. The people who believe in him won't let him rest, but he's enjoying being around. Would you like to just suddenly blink out of existence?
I don't know. If my existence was just hatred all the time,
maybe. Yeah. But does he ever look like he hates anyone? He seems to be enjoying himself. I mean, the people he kills, okay, let's look at this. Outside of the whole thing where he has to make people believe in him again. Yeah. Think about what he does. You are told if you call his name 5 times in a mirror, he will appear behind you and kill you. You asked for this. You have no one to blame but yourself. He is simply obliging someone. Think of it as a curtain call. It's like, Candyman, can you please come and kill me?
Sure.
He's obliging his fans. You can look at it that way.
Do you think that someone could associate with him and survive just by bringing him more and more victims?
You mean like a pinhead scenario?
Or maybe like the ring where you keep making copies of the tape over and over again?
I don't know. He kept going after Helen. But in that respect, like I said, it was a we have to make people believe situation.
I think he was, you know what? That's kind of weird. I don't think he was ever out to actually kill Helen. I think he just loved setting her up in situations where she was obviously going to get blamed.
Okay. I was going to actually go, okay, let's talk about Helen. Okay. Let's talk about Helen for a bit and the relationship with Candyman. Okay. Candyman is breaking her down, so she gives himself to him willingly.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Look at everything he's done. He's turned everyone against her. Framed her for multiple murders in the baby kidnapping. Well, though the baby wasn't actually dead, but nobody knew that.
Yeah. That's weird. What was the deal with that baby? I mean, she was in she was locked up for over a month on, what was it? Thrizepam? I can't remember the name. She was drugged up for month.
I can't think of it. But.
What was he feeding that baby? Was he changing its diaper? You know, it was just there. You know?
Yeah, I mean, feeding it honey? I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine him trying to...
He's a supernatural being. He doesn't need to explain himself to you.
I mean, can you imagine him trying to change a diaper with that hook? It's like, ah, damn it.
Well, he wasn't circumcised when he got here.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
We're going to cut that one out. Okay. Tony might actually be listening to this. I don't know. He can't exactly send anyone to the store to get formula.
Diapers?
You know, I've said it before. My friend Tim introduced this phrase to me a few years back. Sometimes you just got to say, it's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking movie. But yeah, he systematically breaks down her will to live, pretty much. You know, at the end, is like she does, you know, oh, you lied to me. She was going to give herself to him, you know, in exchange for, you know, the baby, which is noble in her line.
Yeah.
She was going to basically be the sacrifice to revive his lore and ends up being a urban legend herself.
Yeah, I found that.
And you only need to call her name 4 times, apparently. Oh.
4 times.
Her ex-husband only calls her name 4 times. I watched it twice just to be sure. So what else can we say here? Candyman.
Movie doesn't really pick up until about halfway through.
Most of it is about them studying the Candyman, urban legend, interviewing people, going to... Cabrini Green is a real place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. The fact that they had to make deals with, like, the local gangs there in order to film there at the actual location.
Yep, and on the last day, the van got shot anyway. It's like, hey,
yeah,
thanks for coming!
But I found that, I wasn't really enthralled in the movie. I found it kind of slow until that halfway point when Helen suddenly wakes up in Anne-Marie's bathroom covered in blood, you know, and then she opens the door trying to figure out where the hell she is, and she sees the dog all torn apart and
beheaded.
And Anne-Marie's freaking out over all the blood in the crib going, where's my baby? Where's my baby? And, yeah. And all that right there, if they had opened with that, and then did a 2 weeks earlier and told the film from the beginning.
Now, see, that kind of story setup is more modern.
Yeah.
I mean, for the time this was filmed, I think it worked just fine.
Yeah, it's definitely a 90s film.
Yeah, the whole flashback thing is more of a modern.
Yeah, they're definitely giving audiences more credit these days with the whole, you know, wrapping their heads around, you know, flashback stuff. But that's the point where the movie really started for me, where the story really picked up and was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, love...
It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It had build-up.
Well, that was the thing.
And then it had release at the end.
I don't know. The build-up wasn't quite buildy-uppy enough for me.
A little slow yeah. For your taste.
Yeah, it was dragging. I was like, okay, look. I was like looking at the timer and looking at the progress, you know, going through the movie. I was like, wow, we are halfway through and we haven't seen shit yet.
And that's the problem with you young people. You want instant gratification. You want instant satisfaction. No, you gotta suffer through it.
but I liked it. I liked it. You know, it was good, and definitely the story behind how the movie got made and everything was interesting. And I also really liked the fact that they used 12-hour-old bees that don't have, you know, fully developed stingers to actually put real live bees all over characters. You know, I found that intensely interesting, especially the part where Tony Todd has bees in his mouth.
Those are real bees.
Yeah, he just has like a little
real mouth.
They gave him a little thing to put in his mouth so that they couldn't get past a certain point.
Right, so he didn't accidentally inhale them.
Yeah, they didn't crawl down his throat or anything. I'm assuming they gave him plugs for his nose too.
God, can you imagine if he had accidentally inhaled one of those bees? Oh my Jesus. God.
Oh man.
And he did his own stunt, ladies and gentlemen. Those are real bees in his real mouth. Oh man.
I read, though, that he did get stung about 20 or 30 times during the course of the three movies. And they did the same thing for all three. They didn't cheap out, at least with the bees. Yeah. But anyway, I liked it. It wasn't like the most fantastic movie ever, you know, but it was definitely worth watching.
Definitely worth watching.
And I would watch the second one too. It was almost as good as the first one, I think. The third one was just horrible crap. horrible crap. The second one was reasonably okay too. But the first one is definitely something special.
Yeah.
And it has music, from Glass.
The music was awesome. It really was.
I was shocked to see that. Philip Glass. I think I read that he felt a little misled about the nature of the movie. It's good soundtrack. It's one of the pillars of the movie, you know? It's Tony Todd and Philip Glass's music and the fact that they got to use a very authentic location like that.
And authentic gang members.
Yeah. So Tony Todd's excellent voice, Philip Glass's music, authentic location, and easily an entire carton of cigarettes smoked up in
and who knows how many smoked off camera and ended up on the editing floor.
Yeah. Oh man.
Candyman brought to you by Winston Salem.
I know, right? Were they a sponsor? What the hell?
I don't know.
Alrighty.
Okay. Well, Candyman, overall thoughts. I love this movie. I've liked it since the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. I think Candyman himself, Tony Todd, brought to us a very intriguing, a very gripping antagonist. Honestly, if anyone came up to me and said, favorite horror movie antagonist, Candyman definitely up there in my top five.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He's definitely a character that stays in your mind and stimulates your imagination. Definitely stays with you. Definitely not an entity I would ever want to meet.
But
in real life,
I mean, not in the movie situations. No. But how many times do you see a horror movie antagonist that makes you go, "I wonder what his backstory is. What happened to him?" So, what else can we say about Candyman?
I remember it distinctly from the Blockbuster VHS cover. That's all I remembered about this movie from when it came out, was the VHS being released in Blockbuster, when I was working at Blockbuster. But I'm glad I finally got to see it. It was definitely worth seeing. It didn't, like, scare me, like, ooh, you know, not like some movies have. But it was definitely entertaining. Mm-hmm. I do think the sequel, the third one, brought it down quite a bit. But the first two movies together, those are decent watching. Yeah. Tells the whole story.
Well, you know, when it comes to sequels, sometimes they don't need to be made. Candyman, see it? It is available for DVD on Netflix. And, of course, you can always order it on Amazon. I feel in the realm of horror, it is a must-see. This is one of the, you know, in the codex of horror. These are movies you must see. You must see Candyman. And you must buy Tony Todd a beer next time you see him in a bar. I have no idea if he drinks, huh? But if I were ever in a situation where I was at a restaurant or something like that, I look over and holy shit, is that Tony Todd? Waitress, send that guy whatever he wants. I'm paying for it. Okay, so it's your turn to pick a new movie. What do you got for me?
Let's check out 2003's Dreamcatcher.
All right, next time on the Monster Club, we will be checking out Dreamcatcher. Well, that's a wrap.
Yep, let's see if concessions is still open. I need some candy, man.
Candy, man?
Yep, candy, man.
Really? Candy, man?
Yeah, I need some candy, man.
You're mine now.